The indiscriminate use and discarding of plastics is certainly a problem everywhere on Earth, isn't it? But nowhere is it more devastating to other life than in our oceans. Nearly 600 million pounds of plastic are now floating in our oceans, making it a massive pool of our waste. The largest of five plastic garbage zones in our ocean, called the Great Pacific Garbage Patch, covers 620,000 square miles in an area in the North Pacific between California and Hawaii. It's three times the size of France. And while we should indeed be concerned about plastic straws and all those other movements out there, plastic straws, plastics in general, plastic bags and bottles, we should also be concerned very much about just fishing, because 46% of all the plastic found in that floating garbage country, 46% of all that plastic is from ghost nets from fishing operations. Only 1% is from plastic straws. When researchers and ocean conservation groups discuss the topic of overfishing, they typically point to the tons of wild fish caught per year and those raised from aquaculture, and they call this production. Well, I look at this much differently and certainly more accurately by adding to those figures another 28 million tons minimally of IUU, which is illegally caught, unregulated, and unreported. I don't even know how they come up with that number. Likely vastly underestimated. And also, you have to add to this figure bykill, which amounts to perhaps another 200 million tons of sea animals per year. So it's not accurate at all for researchers to call any of this production, because in reality, what we're doing is destroying. Well, fishing, of course, destroys species of target fish, but it also destroys ecosystems and biodiversity. All forms of fishing are destructive by definition, because it kills something. Fishing also destroys habitat with trawling, both pelagic and bottom trawling, that excavates and ruins ocean floors. Per seine methods, it drops a mile long net, circles around, draws it tight, and catches every form of sea life in the middle. That's the way they destroy most of our tuna. Then there's longline fishing, where a boat drops a main fishing line that can be up to 60 miles long. I've seen one 100 miles long, with thousands of hooks and barbs, and catching whatever sea life happens to be in its way. The only fishing methods that are fully banned are explosives and poisons, but that's ridiculous because both of those methods are on the rise because they're unenforceable. So how effective is that sustainable seafood label? Well, there are many, many examples of oceanic species that have collapsed while under the watch of those two major certified sustainable organizations since they were formed in the mid to late 1990s. Everything on this list that you see is considered and labeled sustainable, but none of them really are. Cod were fished only 1% of their original numbers off the coast of Newfoundland, more recently to a near extinct status in the North Sea, while stated by both those organizations that they were sustainable. Well, they're never going to recover in our lifetime. I've run out of room on this one slide to show you all the species in trouble, so here's a number for you. Over 1,000 types of fish are affected. And so it is with fishing under that sustainable label. Target fish are becoming extinct. We move on to the next fish in line, creating serial depletion. And then other sea life up and down the food web are becoming extinct. A trophic cascade effect, all part of the collateral damage that begins with us. Well, coral reef systems around the world are in serious trouble. Most of us know that. The Great Barrier Reef has lost more than half of its coral cover since 1985. Most would think it's due to pollution and climate change. That's what they want you to believe. But the primary initial cause of coral reef death there and throughout most of the world is not from pollution, and it's not from climate change. It's from overfishing. An example in the other direction can clearly be found in the Queen's Islands off the southern coast of Cuba, where they haven't allowed any commercial fishing, and the coral reef ecosystems there look the same as they have for the past several thousands of years. Are coral reefs in serious danger from the effects of climate change? Sure, can't ignore that, sure. They're among the most vulnerable, if not the most vulnerable of any ecosystems on Earth to climate change. But many studies have shown that maintaining coral reefs as a no-take marine protected area, meaning no fishing allowed and strictly enforced, it'll make coral reefs six times more resilient to the effects of global warming and climate change. One of the most important factors in balancing coral reef systems are predatory fish like sharks, but we're killing them too, quite a few of them, more and more each year. One third of all shark species are nearing extinction. We're killing well over 100 million sharks per year. Why? Well, 70 to 100 million sharks have their fins cut off like this, and then they're thrown overboard to die so we can continue eating shark fin soup. It's terrible to see this, isn't it? And I know what many of you are thinking. You're thinking, well, you're saying to yourselves, yeah, well, I don't eat shark fin soup, not me. And furthermore, it's banned in 14 states, only 14 states in the U.S. Well, isn't that great? But again, over 98% of us worldwide do eat fish. And by eating fish, any type of fish, we're doing this to 60 million sharks that are caught each year and killed in fishing nets and fishing lines as bycatch. So go ahead and ban shark fin soup all you want. But why would you stop there? If you're truly concerned about endangered sea turtles, whales, sharks, dolphins, as you should be, and the state of our oceans, then you should ban fishing. Many fisheries that are accepted and labeled as sustainable then are actually viewed by many scientists as unsustainable. Killing krill has now become a very large business, but you don't need to eat krill or any other sea life or any other animal to get your omega-3s, unless you've, of course, you listen to Dr. Oz. However, krill is fundamental to the survival of almost every animal species in and around the Antarctic. Once the most abundant animal species on Earth, krill numbers have dropped by 80% since 1978, in turn affecting the decline of a number of penguin species, making it difficult for baleen whales such as Blue, Right, and Finn, who are desperately trying to make a comeback from what we've done to them. The quota or maximum sustainable yield for extracting krill out of our oceans and killing them has been placed at around 1 million tons per year. And yet, scientists admit to knowing very little about krill or the interconnected ecosystems heavily affected by krill, such as phytoplankton and algae in one direction, or all the other species that feed on krill in the other direction. Norway, China, and that darn Russia are all investing nearly $1 billion in each of their krill capturing fleets of ships as this industry is projected to grow substantially over the next year. While we're just learning a little bit here and there about krill's importance in capturing carbon from the atmosphere. That's right. Krill remove up to 12 gigatons per year in greenhouse gas emissions. Just another of the many examples of human's interference of nature's complex web of balancing itself. We don't need to eat krill, but other species do, and our Earth needs them. It's pretty simple. Two new reports were released recently indicating that the amount of sea life extracted from our oceans over the years were vastly underestimated by the United Nations, and that reef fishing by local indigenous people are doing much more damage than once thought, with various species being exploited at much higher rates than previously predicted, all simply adding to the gloomy picture of our lack of stewardship. In the Pacific Northwest, similar to other seacoast areas of the world, there's a blind spot when it comes to fishing. It's a very uneasy topic to confront. Our government declared the Snake River sockeye salmon here endangered in 1991. It's a beautiful fish in many ways, but within just 8 years, their numbers plummeted, and 16 other salmon species were in trouble shortly thereafter. There are now 28 populations of West Coast salmon and steelhead fish that are on the endangered species list. Of the 14 species of salmon on this list, 5 are in crisis mode, and 10 are behind on all efforts for recovery, but all are still allowed to be fished. The numbers of most species of salmon, cod, tuna, swordfish, halibut, many other large species have declined by over 90% of their original numbers. Bluefin tuna and swordfish species are less than 4% of their historic numbers, still not protected by the Endangered Species Act because, well, we would rather eat them into extinction. Instead of eating dolphin-free tuna, we should be concerned about eating simply tuna-free. This is an approved sustainable method of catching tuna right here. A good recent example of our certified sustainable systems blatantly not working is with sardines. Now, these fish are in serious trouble, and you might ask, who cares about sardines? Well, the answer is we should all care about all species of animals that we share this planet with. Their population, sardines population, has dropped by 99%, just in the last 15 years. Once the most abundant fish in the California current, spanning from Alaska to Mexico, many scientists predict that they're not going to recover in the next 30 or 40 years, if at all. Losses have been blamed, of course, on the warm blob in the ocean, a phenomenon occurring there, or other factors related to climate change. But all scientists today that have studied this agree that overfishing is the principal problem, made worse by climate change. And even if there's some correlation to global warming in the plummeting numbers of sardines or any species, then that's just one more reason to stop fishing them and allow them to recover, isn't it? And even though there's a current ban on sardine fishing, which there is this year off the coast of California, sardines can still be caught as bycatch. Imagine that, which can be up to 20 to 50% of the total catch of any particular fishing boat. Well, down the Pacific coast a little ways, we have the other half of the story about sardines. In 2016, more than 3,000 starving sea lion pups were found stranded, and many more since then. Studies reveal that this is because the mother sea lions were undernourished, and their favorite food item is sardines. Now, this, of course, is only the tip of the ecological iceberg, as numerous other species that rely on sardines are likely in trouble. Whales, dolphins, tuna, pelicans, nearly all predator fish. We just can't see them struggling as easily as we can see these pups.